Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shelby Friedman, and today we'll be studying Sefer Yeshayahu Perek Nun Zayin, the 57th Perek. That's it. We're down to the last 10 prakim of Yeshayahu. If you've come this far, we are so close to the finish line, and we get to really enjoy the delicious, beautiful, and extremely comforting haftarahs, which talk about not just our return to Eretz Yisrael and rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash and the time of Mashiach, but also just the inherent concept of teshuvah, of returning. And that's going to be the theme really for our perek. The first piece of the perek is going to talk about the different reality which a tzaddik experiences versus a rasha. And there are a couple of different ways we can read these psukim. So let's dive right in and take a look. Pasuk Aleph tells us, HaTzaddik Avad Ve'ein ish sam alev. A righteous person dies and no one notices. Ve'anshei chesed ne'esafim be'ein mevin. And men of righteousness are gathered upon their people. In other words, they also pass away and no one understands. Ki mipnei hara'a ne'esaf ha'tzadik. Because it is because of bad that the tzadik is gathered up, is passing away. Rashi says this is talking about a tzaddik that's dying, and people don't realize that the reason why the tzaddik is dying is because mipnei hara'a, because bad is about to befall the people. So Hashem wants to avoid the tzaddik seeing the bad, and therefore he dies before his time. There are so many great people who died in the 1930s in the lead up to the Holocaust, and many people say it's such a chesed, such a kindness in retrospect that God provided them that they died before having to see the destruction of the 6 million people in the Shoah. And this perhaps is what it's suggesting, that sometimes a righteous person dies before his time so that he doesn't have to see bad. We have this idea, in fact, in Chazal, when it talks about the death of Avraham Avinu. Chazal suggests that Avraham Avinu died early, 5 years early, in order to save him from having to see his grandson Esav go off the path and become wicked. Another time where we see this, actually, which Rashi directly refers to, is Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu, later on, is also going to die before his day so that he doesn't have to witness the destruction of the Churban of Bayis Rishon. The Radak reads this pasuk similarly, except he picks up on the fact that it transitions from singular to plural. First, it tells us Hatzadik Avad, one righteous person dies, and then Anshei Chesed Ne'esafim, many people die. And he says, sometimes when one dead righteous person doesn't leave the impact it's supposed to, when people don't see it as a wake-up call, then many more will continue to die. The Malbim has a totally different read of this pasuk. He says, this pasuk is not talking about the way the world works, but it's talking about the bold and erroneous statements of the wicked people. Wicked people look at the world and they say, ha, everyone has the same fate. Righteous people die, good people are killed. There's no ein ish sam lev, there's no difference between everybody, right? Everybody deserves the same death at the end of the day. And maybe the tzaddik even dies because mipnei hara'a, because of the bad that he lived in his lifetime. He lived a life in which he didn't engage in material pleasures. He didn't eat, drink, and be merry. So because he lived a life of piety, his body suffered and thus he died. But really, there's no spiritual advantage to living the life of a tzaddik. And thus for the Malbim, Pasuk Beis is the answer to that. Pasuk Beis says, no, Russia, that's not how the world works. Rather, Yavosh Shalom Yanuchu Al Mishkevosam. It's not random. It's for their fate in the world to come that they should have peace and they should rest in the world to come. That's why it happens. Death is not all equal, and we are not all equal in death, because the tzaddik will deserve to get the world to come. The way the Rashi and Radak read the second Pasuk is also an explanation, and it's saying that the righteous die so that they can have peace in the world to come and shouldn't have to experience the suffering which is about to happen in this here world. And thus, at this point, Yeshayahu turns to the sinners of the generation and he says, but you are not the tzaddik. You are not going to die and experience peace. V'atem kirvu heina b'nei onana, zera mena'ef v'tizneh. You come closer, you people who are the children of witchcraft and you offspring of adultery. The Navi then goes on to describe all the idol worship that the people continue to do. Hanechamim ba'elim tachat kol etz ra'anan. They fire themselves up under all of these trees. Shochteh hayeladim b'nechalim. And they slaughter their children in the valleys. Tachat se'ifeh haslaim, under the rocks. And thus, Pasuk Vav, b'chelkei nachal chelkech. Heim Heim Goralech. Chalkel, the smooth stones. The smooth stones of the valley are your portion. They are your intended allotted slot. What does this mean? So the Mitzvot David understands that you, the place that you worship idols, right? These stones that are by the valley is where you're worshiping idols. However, Rashi understands it to mean that you will be stoned to death with these stones. You're choosing to have a fate of receiving the death penalty for your behavior. He says, Gam lahem shafacht nesech. So for this, for these stones, either idol worship or death, you've chosen to pour out your libation offerings, he'elis mincha, and to offer up offerings. Ha'al ele enachem, should I have mercy on you for those things? Should I comfort you? Should I forgive you for this kind of behavior? There's no way that I can do that. And thus, Yeshayahu is now going to compare the Jew who sins to a person who commits adultery. And yes, the context of this parak up until now is talking about idol worship, but I'm sure that it's not hard for us to imagine a betrayal of God that can relate to our own lives personally, especially now in the lead up to Rosh Hashanah, this intense time of doing teshuvah, where we can ask ourselves, is there an area where we too have become like the adulterous woman who has betrayed your spouse, Hashem, and chosen to do things which are backstabbing and disloyal? Pasuk Zayin says, Al har gavoa v'nisa samt mishkavech. You have put your bed up on a high mountain. In other words, Rashi says, you've chosen to betray Hashem publicly. You've put it on your Facebook status. You've put it up on social media. You've put it al har gavoa in a big public place that we're not careful about halacha. Gam shama lit lizboach zevach. There too you've offered sacrifices. But it's not just in public places that you've been comfortable to betray HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Pasuk Ches says, V'achar hadelet v'hamezuzah samt zichronech. Behind closed doors, in private places, you're also unloyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You also betray Hashem. And the way the Malbim reads this is horrific. He says, it's imagine this adulteress who is sitting behind closed doors on her own bed with her husband, and she's considering other things while she is doing that. And so too, and it's going to be the theme of the perek later on, sometimes while we're in the middle of a mitzvah, we're relishing in the thought of not doing that mitzvah. While we're holding back from doing an avera, we're thinking about how much we want to do that avera. And that is such a betrayal of Hashem. Hashem says, Ki me'iti gelit ta'ali hirchavd mishkavech. You've widened up your bed to make space for your men that you are bedding. It's not just Hashem, but you've opened up your lives to create more opportunities to follow your own lust and follow your desires. And why do you do that? Because you think that there's something out there, that ever elusive something which feels very chashuv, it feels very important. Pasuk Tes says, Vatashuri lemelech. You've approached or you've spoken to the king with oils, v'tarbi rikuchayich, and you've provided him with beautiful perfumes. V'tishlachitzi raich ad merachok v'tishbeli ad sha'ol. But it doesn't end there. You might go for an avera because it feels like it's going to be very prestigious and important, but ultimately you're going to send out yourself to all the ends of the world, and you will allow yourself to be downtrodden all the way until the grave. And the Malbim says, because you start off with znus towards the king, you think what you're committing adultery with against HaKadosh Baruch Hu is another king, but ultimately you become worthless. And averas make us worthless. They make us get to the point where v'tishbeli ad sha'ul, we have made ourselves coarse, and we've made ourselves insensitive, we've made ourselves nothing through the averas that we do. They don't add value to our lives. They detract all the value that's there. And we just continue to, in a crazy frenzy, pursue our taiva, our desire, our gratification, and our lust. And Pasuk Yud Aleph, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gives us a moment of reflection in this frenzy. And he says, "It mi da'agt vatiri ki techazevi." Who did you worry about? And who were you afraid of when you lied to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Vo'oti lo zachart, and you didn't remember Hashem. Lo samt al libech, and you don't put Hashem on your heart. Who are you scared of? You weren't scared of God. You thought Hashem, your loyal and loving husband, will never betray you. And you went off to run after all of these crazy things, not once thinking about the relationship that you have at home with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and your inner heart. You didn't pay attention to Hashem at all. And Hashem says, Halo, ani machoshe Umeolam vo'oti lo tira'i. But I have stood silently and idly the whole time, and you have no fear of me. And the way the Radak says this is, he says, what Hashem is saying is, why are you so scared of me when it comes to being punished for your sins, when you didn't seem to worry about me at all while you were sinning? And isn't it ironic? We have no thought of Elul in the middle of Adar or Nisan when we're doing Averas. And then it comes to Elul and suddenly we're scared of the consequences of our actions. Hashem says, don't you think it's a little bit hypocritical that there seems to be this double standard here that you're assuming? But Hashem says it's so simple. V'ani agid tzidkasech v'et ma'asech lo yo'iluch. I told you what to do. I've told you how to be righteous. I've told you the actions that are needed, and you've not paid any attention to me. And instead, you've pursued all of these things that you think will provide you with happiness, whether it's idol worship, or it's money, or it's pleasure, or it's whatever it is, pick your poison. Hashem says, but you know what's going to happen? At the end of the day, when punishment does come, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives din v'cheshbon to each and every single one of us for our actions, then, b'za'akech, this is Pasuk Yud Gimel, b'za'akech yatziluch kibutzayich ve'et kulam yisaruach yikachavel. Then, when you cry out in a moment of pain, then all the things that you've gathered up, kibbutzayich could either mean the people you've gathered, or it could mean, Rashi says, your collections, your objects that you think are going to save you, your idols, your physical things, he says, or maybe it's your friends who you think are your friends when you don't realize Hashem is your friend. Either way, when you cry out and you want them to save you, what will happen? They're all going to dissipate and disappear because there's nothing there. There's nothing real for you over there. But those who depend on HaKadosh Baruch Hu will indeed inherit the land, and they will be allowed to possess Hashem's holy mountain. Am Yisrael, if you are going to be like a harlot and you're going to seek pleasure elsewhere outside of our marital bond, then you will find at the end of the day that those pleasures are not going to help you in the time of din and cheshbon, in a time of judgment, because really then the only thing that's going to help you is our marital bond. And thus, from here till the end of the perek switches gears. And this piece from Yod Dalet onwards is actually the beginning of the Haftarah for Yom Kippur, Shachris of Yom Kippur. And therefore, we know exactly what the theme is going to be. The theme is going to be teshuva and sincerity, because Yom Kippur is a day of teshuva and sincerity. Pasuk Yod Dalet tells us, Va'amar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the prophet to tell us, Solu, solu panu derech, build a path, solu from the word mesila, build a path, clear out the way. Harimu michshol, remove any stumbling blocks, mi derech ami, from the way of my people. And obviously there's two ways of understanding this. Rashi says it's talking about the Yetzirah and our desire to remove the Yetzirah from our path that we could go to our Kaddish Baruch Hu and connect to Hashem. And the Malbim takes us one step further and he says there are three different types of people who need to connect to Hashem. The first are the people who don't even know that Hashem exists. They don't even know that there's a path between me and Hashem. And to those people we say, solo, solo, make a path. And then there's the people who had a path to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they forgot, they got distracted through the year, and now they're coming back and saying, oi, Hashem, I remember you. And to those people, Hashem says, panu derech, okay, clear out the path. And then there are the people who have the path, and they are connected to Hashem, and the Yetzirah is blocking them every single way. And to them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, harimu michshol, lift up the stumbling blocks. The Radak reads this Pasuk, not as talking about Teshuvah, but as quite literally clearing a path to come to Eretz Yisrael, to come back to Yerushalayim. And as I was preparing this perek, I drive regularly in the road, the back road by Beitar from Beit Shemesh to Yerushalayim, and there's massive, massive roadworks going on there. And they're clearing up the path, and they're paving, and they're putting up the roads, and they're setting up the lights. And I was driving with my 13-year-old daughter, and I said to her, oh my gosh, next year my life is going to be so much easier once this road is built. Everything will be quicker. And I said to her, this is it. Salu salu, panu derech. We're busy clearing up the path so that there won't be a michshol for us to getting directly to Yerushalayim as quickly as we can. And again, if this is the Haftarah out of all of Nach that was chosen to be read on the auspicious day of Yom Kippur Shachris, as we're standing in Shul doing Teshuvah. So these psukim are very, very important to understand. Pasuk Tesvav says, Ki ko omar ram v'nisa, shochein ad v'kadosh shemo, Marom v'kadosh eshkon. Thus Hashem, who is Ram v'nisa, he is lofty, he is high, he is shochen ad, he dwells up there, kadoshimo, he is holy. Hashem says, Marom v'kadosh eshkon, I live in the high places. And if you recall, we spoke about this in the first nevuah of Yeshayahu, in Perek Vav of Yeshayahu, where he talks about how Hashem says, I'm kadosh, kadosh, I'm so lofty and I'm so high, and at the same time, melocha la'aretz kavodo, I fill up the whole world. Here too, Hashem says, on the one hand, God is so high and so up there, and we stand on Yom Kippur and we try to do teshuvah and connect to Hashem in such a high, high place. And at the same time, Hashem says, you've got to remember, va'ad daka v'shafa ruach, I go all the way into the gutters, in the sewage, in with the downtrodden. I'm there with you. We don't have to reach up, lo bashamayim hi, to get to Hashem, because Hashem is right here. And we daven in a whisper because Hashem's ear is right, right by our lips. And why is Hashem close to those downtrodden sinners? La'chayos ruach shvelim u'la'chayos lev nidakim, to lift us up. Hashem is high, but Hashem is down here too. As I say in Yiddish, I can't speak Yiddish, so I'm not going to say it in Yiddish, but the saying is that a big God has small problems. Hashem says, all your little problems, I'm with you in all of those. Why? Because the ultimate goal is to lift you up. And as Rav Hirsch explains, Hashem says, I dwell with the downtrodden because that's not their final destination. Their final destination is to connect to who they really, really are, which is a tzelem Elokim, a piece of Hashem. That's what the next pasuk says. Ki lo la'olam ariv v'lo la'netzach ektzof. I'm not going to be angry forever, Hashem says. Ki ruach milfana ya'atof u'nishmos ani asiti. Hashem says, because the spirit, which is wrapped up in the body, and the soul are things that I made. Hashem says, I love you and I'm close to you. And thus, even when you sin, pasuk yuzayin, ba'avon bitzo katzafti va'akehu haster. Hashem says, because of the sin of, Rashi reads it as stealing. The Radak reads it as greed, similar to the Avera of Hamas, which is what destroyed the world during the time of Noach. Because of the sin of which is undermining the entire system of society, where people are betraying each other to pursue their own greed. He says, because of that, I got angry and I hid my face from you. Vayelech shovav b'derech libo. There are two ways of reading this. The way the Radak reads it is, and you went wildly pursuing your own desires in the way of your heart. The Malbim says, no. Vayelech shovav means, and wildness or stubbornness left b'derech libo, from your heart. I got angry, I turned away, and then vayelech shovav, the part of you that sinned, left you. And all that was left was the Pintalayid, the holy Jew inside of you. And thus, maybe because of your teshuvah, as the Malbim reads it, or even as the Radak says, despite not doing teshuvah, Hashem says, Derachav ra'iti ve'erpehu, I saw his ways, the way of the sinner, and I healed him nevertheless. Ve'ancheu v'ashalem nechumim lo ula'avelav, and I led him, I guided him, and I gave him comfort to him and to all of his mourners. Pasuk Yud Tes can be read a couple of different ways, but this is really the peak of the perek, where Yeshayahu says, Borei niv sfatayim, I created lips, work of the lip, shalom, shalom lemerachok, peace, peace, to those who are far away, ulakarov, and those who are close, Omar Hashem, says Hashem, ura fativ, and healed you. Rashi says this is, I'm going to create a new language. Up until now, the words shalom, shalom don't even come into your mind. You're so busy battling, whether it's battling the reality of our physical enemies or battling against our Yetzirah. But Hashem says, I'm going to create a whole new terminology to describe your existence, where it's going to be shalom, shalom, peace, peace, from those who are far from Hashem, and also those who are near Hashem, will all achieve peace and be healed. Rav Hirsch says it's talking about Borei, Hashem will create that which has been Niv Sfatayim, that's only been words on our lips up until now, which is Shalom, Shalom. Up until now, we've keep whispering, peace, peace, Shalom, Shalom. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, now it's going to become real. Borei, I'm going to create it. I'm going to heal you, and it's all going to be good. But that won't happen to the wicked people. We're told the wicked people will be destroyed, and our perek ends in a very harsh pasuk, pasuk Chaf Aleph, Ein Shalom Omar Elokai L'Rasha'im. There's no Shalom for Rasha'im. Shalom, shalom, that dream that we've been holding on to for thousands of years. Shalom internally, that we don't have to toil and fight against our Yetzirah, and we can defeat our Yetzirah and be able to salu salu panu derech, make a path directly between us and Hashem. That's what we're hoping for, and that's what we're being promised here in this perek. Our learning today is sponsored L'Refua Shalema Yonina Sima Bas Daphna Hinda, Jennifer Hayakara, Ulepitsu Eitzahal, Achenu Hayakarim, B'toch Sha'ar Chole Yisrael. Nina Vachaim Schenker.